Well, greetings and God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And I'm very thankful and blessed to be here today and sharing God's word. As you noticed in the newsletter, the article this month is on Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3, Running the Faithful Race. And in that article, it talks about three steps on running that faithful race. The first step being lightening the load, the second step being changing your focus, and the third step being considering Him, considering Jesus and what He accomplished for us. But today, I want to get a little bit deeper into lightening the load. How many of you want to lighten that load, get rid of the weights that are holding you back? Well, today we'll get into that. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 1. Now, Hebrews chapter 12 has to be set in the context of Hebrews 11, which talks about, you know, all those great believers in the Old Testament and their witness of believing to us. But in Hebrews chapter 12, it begins by saying, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith." And that phrase, looking unto Jesus, is, as I was reading this, are a continuation of putting aside or laying off that weight of sin. And so we need to look unto Jesus. What are we to look unto Him for? what did He do? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll see what He accomplished here. And in verse 21, says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." So, you know, Jesus Christ became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So, you know, that weight of sin that it's talking about in Hebrews chapter 12, He's lightened that load for us. He's already taken that. He's carried that away. And looking back in Isaiah chapter 53, Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah 53, some great verses that we're all familiar with. And in verse 4 it says, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." And in Peter it says, "By His stripes we have been healed." We were healed. So He bore that. He carried that. He was our burden bearer. And so that we don't have to carry that load ourselves. Now turn to Matthew chapter 11. And we'll be talking about being yoked with the Master. Matthew chapter 11. And starting in verse 28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, these verses are set in the context that they're set in following chapter 10, where Jesus sends out prepares his disciples, sends out the first 12, and he says to, he gives them power, he tells them how to go into those places, give them, not carry anything with them, but be totally dependent on God for everything, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," and that's not just a casual invitation. It is a "come unto me." It is set in the imperative mood, which is more of a commanding sense. And he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let me just go back here a minute. We just returned from being on vacation for 2 weeks. Had a wonderful time on Maui and had an opportunity to rest. That rest that we had was from not working. I didn't work a minute while I was here. And I had a great time, going out snorkeling, playing golf. That's not work. That's rest. we can have, he's saying, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So that rest is set in contrast to the labor. And then keep your finger here and go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 9, it says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest," that's God's rest, "he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his." And, back in Hebrews 12, if you read the following verses or the following words after, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith," it says that he was seated at the right hand of God. When his work was finished, he sat, and that word "sat" is the same as resting. When God finished his work, it says he sat. He was finished. And he rested then. And that, every athlete, if you have seen great runners or great other athletes, they have to learn how to pace themselves. In spite of how fast some of these marathon runners are running the marathon these days, they have to pace themselves. They have to, this is a long race, so they got to, pace themselves and find ways of resting during that race. So as you go up the hills, you come down the hills, it gives you a little chance to rest. And football players, huh? If you ever played football, I played football in high school. We also had to learn how to rest in between plays. A football player exerts a lot of strength and effort into blocking his opponent or tackling or going out for a pass. And you know, when they're getting off of that pile, they're doing it slowly, not because there is necessarily someone heavy on top of them, but it gives them a chance to rest and get ready for that next play. And so, you know, we need to learn how to rest as well, and we will gain that rest as we come into His rest and put away, you know, stop trying to do it ourselves. And so turn back to Matthew chapter 11 again. And going on in verse 29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am lowly in heart, for meek I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Now, in Bible times, they didn't have tractors, they didn't have John Deere's, they had animals, they had yokes of oxen, and the yoke was, you know, like a bar of wood that they'd place upon the necks of these animals, and they'd be strapped in with a little strap underneath their neck, and that, you know, and they would plow the fields, they'd, you know, carry, you know, pull the carts and bear the burdens there. And one thing that they would do is that they would team up an older oxen, one who's more experienced in pulling the load, along with a younger one. And that would help the younger one learn how to, you know, carry this load, as well as having an older, more experienced oxen also is a stronger oxen, so they would also tend to carry more of the load. But in this book, Gospel Light, that's by George M. Lanza, and was edited by Jan Majera. There's an article here, or I'll read briefly. There's an article here on this particular verse, and it says, "The yoke in an Aramaic expression is an Aramaic expression for taxation and other burdens that the overlord levies on his servants, on his subjects. Just as the neck of an oxen bends under the weight of a heavy yoke, so Easterners are crushed under heavy duties and taxes." It's just a neat thing here in this book. But the, you know, of course, in this verse, the yoke that Jesus is talking about, it's not a physical yoke, and it's a metaphorical yoke. And in the Old Testament, we won't go there, but in Leviticus chapter 26, it talks about, you know, God delivering the children of Israel from the yoke of bondage, the yoke of, you know, from slavery in Egypt. So the yoke can be a yoke of slavery. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, it's in verse 48, it talks about the yoke of iron, and that the context there is talking about the curses that come unto the children of Israel if they didn't obey God's commandments. So the yoke of iron is in that verse. sense, is a yoke of judgment. And in 1 Kings, there's a record of a young king who took on the reign after his father died, and the people came unto him and said, "You know, your father laid a heavy burden on us, laid a heavy yoke upon us. Please lighten our yoke." And he said, "My father laid a heavy yoke on you. I'm going to lay an even heavier yoke on you. I'm going to double the load." And so he didn't take heed to their request, but that was also a yoke of taxation that was referred to in that gospel light. But now turn to Acts chapter 15. Acts 15. This is after, you know, Paul has been out and preaching to the Gentiles, and the people back in Jerusalem hear about all these things, and so Paul comes back and reports what great things are going on amongst the Gentiles. And so they had this council, and they wanted to lay a yoke a bit on these new Gentile believers. And in chapter 15 and verse 10, it says, Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? They were saying that, you know, you had to, you know, besides, you know, confessing Jesus as Lord in your life, believing God raised him from the dead, well, you got to be circumcised too. And you know, as well as all these other traditions and things that they had to do. So Paul was saying, you know, why tempt God? Don't place a yoke upon these new believers that we weren't even able to bear. And in Galatians chapter 5, turn there. And in verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So the yoke that Jesus has, the yoke that Christ has, is a yoke of freedom. And it's set in contrast to that yoke of bondage. So go back to Matthew 11. I'm going to read here out of the New Testament translation from the Peshitta in Matthew 11. It says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and bear burdens, and I will refresh you. Bear my yoke on you, and learn of me, that I am restful and I am meek in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. For my yoke is pleasant and my burden is light." Certainly the yoke of freedom is a much lighter yoke than the yoke of bondage. And so being yoked with the Master means having him to guide our way, like that older, more experienced oxen. And it also is having him to carry that weight of sin. He's already carried the weight of sin for us when we are free. We're free, hallelujah. Because he carried the load for us, we've been freed from the bondage of sin, and we can run the faithful race together as members of the one body with patient endurance. So keep your eyes on Jesus. Look unto him. Look unto the finished work of Jesus Christ, and truly you will lighten that load. Bless you all.